views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from sunny Seattle here in the KKNW AM 1150 studio. You may be listening in the Seattle area here, or perhaps on the East Coast on WBLQ AM 1230, or perhaps anywhere across the United States through your cable or satellite television radio, CRN, or perhaps anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. I've gotten emails from people from all over the world, so I know that we've got listeners across the planet. And wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined us, because we're going to be talking about something that affects everybody, and that is health and well-being from a really interesting perspective that's thousands of years old. But before I get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear this conversation, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
And good day, Christine. Take two and go. Action.
Oh, okay.
Do you get it? This is your second time here this week already?
I know, but it's actually the third show because
I know. You're absolutely right.
It's like radio, radio, and more radio.
Cut. Yeah. All right, take three and action. There, that's better.
There we go.
I'd be terrible at that person.
Take three. Well, you know, sometimes I do need multiple takes. Wish I had them on radio. Yes.
That makes us more human.
Yeah. Tuesday, I did the Dr. Pat show, and I was talking about the importance of vibrational ease in order to create positive, lasting change.
And I'm feeling the waves and the ripples all the way up until now, Friday.
All right. Still going. And then we had a VIP pre-record, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm so excited about this person being on the show in June.
You'll just have to wait.
Yes, but you'll have to wait. And then today, and I'm really excited. And, you know, you're talking about take one, take two, take three. Well, here in live radio, I'm one to occasionally, or perhaps more than occasionally, stumble over my words.
You really? You're a perfectionist.
Well, I am a perfectionist, but I do make mistakes. Yeah. And it is kind of funny because, you know, sometimes it's just can't get the word out or whatever. You know, I'm very human. Live radio. Well, you know, I'm going to be very challenged today because we're going to be talking about a subject that I can never seem to feel comfortable with my pronunciation. Ayurveda, Ayurveda, I don't know what to call it, but it's important information. So regardless, you know, you can laugh at me, listeners, if you want along the way, but regardless, it's important enough to stay tuned. And I'm excited about the guest today.
Yeah.
You know, years ago when I decided I was going to learn a little bit about Ayurveda, or however you pronounce it, I had a hard time finding out, like, you know, clear information that sort of laid things out for me. And I just felt kind of befuddled. It's like, okay, I'm going to skip looking into that. But now there is a book that has great clarity. It's called The Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda, An Easy Guide to a Healthy Lifestyle. It's by Michelle Fondon. And she's the guest today. She is not only the author of this book, but she's the owner of the Ayurvedic Path Studio. And she practices Ayurvedic lifestyle counseling. She's also a yoga and meditation instructor. She holds a Vedic Master Certificate from the Chopra Center. And she also writes for Chopra.com. And I'm very glad that she's here today to share this important information with us, Michelle Fondon. Michelle, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
You know, it's funny because it's... In some sense, it's a complex subject, but in other ways, it's very simple. What inspired you to write about the Wheel of Healing?
Well, actually, my inspiration came from my own journey into healing. And when I was 28 years old, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And
oh my goodness.
Like any cancer diagnosis, it's devastating when you hear that news
yep.
from coming out of a doctor's mouth. But
uh-huh.
I was 28. And for me, you know, you're never faced with your own mortality. I had two small children at the time. My son was, I believe, almost 18 months. My daughter was five. And you see their lives flashing before your eyes.
Oh,
you're like,
yeah.
oh, my God, I'm not going to be there for them.
Yeah.
And, I was going through this process, and I kept asking all the doctors, why did I get the cancer? Why did I get cancer? Why? I'm so young. How did I get cancer?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was, we don't know. We don't
right.
know how people get cancer. And I said, that is not a satisfying answer for me. So I dug deep, and I really looked at different healing modalities. And Ayurveda, once I stumbled upon it, a friend of mine handed me Dr. Deepak Chopra's book, Perfect Health, and
uh-huh.
immediately it made sense because it went to the root cause of my problem. It went to the root cause of what was making me out of balance, what was making me ill in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And once I discovered that, I said, wow, oh my gosh, so many people could use this information.
Right. So you decided to not only utilize that information, and by the way, what happened with that cancer?
Well, you know, I went through two surgeries. I went through radioactive iodine therapy.
Uh-huh.
I did do the traditional medical protocol for thyroid cancer, but it was really after that I was really ill. And anybody who's dealt with hypothyroidism, they know what I'm talking about. There's
uh-huh.
a whole host of symptoms that goes along with that.
Right.
But Ayurveda helped to balance it out. But I've been, since 1999, I've been cancer-free. So
that's great.
Healing through Ayurveda really did help.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about there being six stages of disease. What are those stages?
Yeah, so if you need to understand the basis of Ayurvedic healing. So Ayurvedic healing works on the basis of balance versus imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
So the stages in the disease process for Ayurveda, it really starts with the doshas, it's called, the mind-body types, that are supposed to sit in different areas of the body. And so we're speaking about elements. We're speaking about the elements of space, air, fire, water, and earth.
Mm-hmm.
And those elements are within us. They couldn't not possibly be within us because they exist all over on earth and in the universe. So these elements sit within us in different spots in the body. And so the first basis of the disease is that the element or the set of elements. Let's just give you I'm going to give you an example. So the dosha called Vata is comprised of the elements of space and air.
Mm-hmm.
Vata normally sits in the colon, and that's where it is. That's where it's situated, and that's just one area in the body. So, for example, as illness is starting to creep up, what's happening is that the space and air qualities are going to start to increase in the colon. So the person might experience a little bit of abdominal discomfort. They might have gassiness.
Uh-huh.
So it's just starting to increase. And then as the disease process goes into stage two, what's going to happen is that space and air quality that was sitting in the colon is going to travel to another part in the body where it's not supposed to be.
Okay, so what is stage two then?
So stage two is localization. So
okay.
it starts
okay.
to localize in an area where it's not supposed to be. So let me give you an example. With that same example, for example, the person might experience, oh, I'm sorry, it's aggravation, excuse me, is might experience back pain. So they're going to get aggravated into a different area in the body.
Okay.
Stage three is dissemination. It's starting to spread again into different areas, and it's going to cause you a whole host of different symptoms. Now, stage four is a really important stage. So that's localization. That's where the excess space and air, it settles in the wrong part of the body.
Okay.
So once it settles in the wrong part of the body, that is when you are going to start experiencing symptoms that are going to take you to the doctors. You're going to say, you know, I have this shoulder pain and it's making me feel very, very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I move, I'm experiencing a lot of pain. And so the doctor's going to maybe run some tests, maybe take some x-rays, and they may find something or they may not find something.
Mm-hmm.
But really, this is at the point, stage four in an Ayurvedic disease process is usually where people start going to see their physicians
sure.
because they're starting to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Well, the disease has already had four stages to take root.
Mm-hmm.
And usually this is happening over a long period of time. This is happening over months and years. And so the stage five is a manifestation. And the example that I gave in the book was, for example, this space and air quality,
uh-huh.
it may move up to the brain even, and then the person's going to experience some anxiety, some panic attacks. So this is a disease process that actually started in the colon and moved its way up to the brain.
Okay.
And so, and then, of course, the stage six is disruption. So disruption is when you have full-blown illness. That's mm-hmm. when full-blown illness occurs. Oftentimes, people are not going to their physicians until stage six, until they really have had symptoms for quite some time,
mm-hmm.
and then they finally go on to their physician, and they're asking, you know, what do I have, and they're diagnosed with a full-blown illness. And that was my case, being diagnosed with cancer, is that
mm-hmm.
I didn't see my physician until things were quite exaggerated. But oftentimes with cancer, if you're not trained, you're not able to detect those symptoms early on.
Uh-huh, right. So we're going to be going to a quick break in just a few moments, but when we return, Michelle, I'm going to want your perspective on, you know, what are the different spokes of Ayurveda and how can we, you know, basically show up and integrate the wisdom from these various spokes into our well-being. But more with Michelle Fonden when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show. We all seem to have something in our lives that we would like to shift, and there are a variety of ways to implement change. But many times we try several approaches but still don't get what we want. Why is that? Well, it turns out that there are universal principles governing change that you probably haven't heard about before, which determine whether or not we are successful in getting what we want. Following these principles leads to positive, lasting change, but ignoring them keeps us stuck. So if you are struggling in at least one area of your life, then you are missing an essential ingredient in your recipe of change. Want to learn the keys to success? Join me, Christine Upchurch, in Redmond on June 6th for a day-long experiential workshop, helping you create your personalized roadmap for change. Empower yourself to transform your life so you can live more vibrantly. For more information, please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
When I get home, babe, been thinking about you, baby, my one desire. Gonna wrap my arms around you.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Michelle Fondon, the author of The Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda, an easy guide to a healthy lifestyle. Now, Michelle, you were talking about your own illness and how you helped find your way back to health after, you know, the harsh treatment that you had with cancer. And then you were also talking about the disease stages. I know that with Ayurveda medicine, they actually break people into three different categories according to personality and physicality. Can you share with our listeners what those three types are?
Sure. The three main mind-body types, again, they're comprised of the five elements of space, air, fire, water, and earth. And so the first one is called Vata, V-A-T-A, and that personality type is comprised of space and air. The second mind-body type is called Pitta, P-I-T-T-A, and it's comprised of fire and water. And the third is Kapha, K-A-P-H-A, and that's comprised of water and earth. Now, we have all three of these mind-body types within us because we have all five elements within us.
Uh-huh.
However, we have different proportions of those doshas, they're called. The mind-body types are called doshas.
Uh-huh.
We have different proportions, so one person may be more of a Vata type, one more of a Pitta type, one more of a Kapha type.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can be combinations of two of them as well. That two are pretty predominant. So,
okay. So how is that helpful in approaching well-being from the Ayurvedic perspective?
So the basis of Ayurveda is really understanding who you are first. So understanding your mind-body type is going to tell an Ayurvedic practitioner what kind of foods you should be eating in order to stay balanced, how you should be exercising, even how you process emotions, how you process experiences. It's helpful to understand even your relationships and what kind of job is ideal for you.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's the basis for pretty much everything as far as remaining in balance in your own life.
Okay, so can you go through the three different types and talk about how that would, you know, give some examples?
Yeah, of course. So the Vata type, comprised of space and air. So a Vata type is usually very thin, angular features.
Uh-huh.
They don't have a lot of fat underneath their skin. They're usually very upbeat people, very funny, creative, happy, connectors. They're connectors, if you think about it. They usually have a ton of acquaintances, not a whole lot of close friends, but
uh-huh.
a ton of acquaintances. They really like to talk to people. They walk fast, talk fast, move fast, think fast. They're great in creative fields. They're great in writing fields, communications fields.
Uh-huh.
And they're just fun people to have around. When they go out of balance, however, they tend toward anxiety. They tend toward worry, fear, nightmares. They have dry skin, dry eyes. They tend toward constipation. So that's a Vata type. The second type is called Pitta. And again, it's comprised of fire and water. Now, Pitta types are very intense. They're passionate, driven, goal-oriented. Sometimes when we think in the Western world of what a type A personality is,
uh-huh.
Pitta types are very close to that type. So they enjoy information. They like imparting that information to others. They're usually eloquent speakers.
Mm-hmm.
They're good leaders. So those are their strengths. They can eat pretty much anything they want, except for hot and spicy foods. But they have a really good appetite, good digestive fire. They don't need to sleep very long, probably, 5 to 7 hours. They're good with that.
Uh-huh.
But on the flip side, Pitta types, since they have that fire within them, they tend toward anger. They tend toward judgment and criticism, not only toward others, but toward themselves. Their mantra is, what did you do wrong? So they great people, though. People are very attracted to Pitta types,
uh-huh.
but when they get angry, watch out.
Okay.
So the third type is more endomorphic, so a little bit more fat under their skin, water and earth, Kapha. Kapha types are a little bit the opposite of that Vata type. So Kaphas are very slow-moving. They think slow, walk slow, talk slow. If you get annoyed by a family member that takes an hour to finish dinner, that's a Kapha type.
Okay.
They're very methodical. But, they're very loyal, trustworthy, affectionate, loving, kind. Think of that grandmother in the kitchen baking cookies and giving warm hugs.
Uh-huh.
That's a Kapha type. They're attentive listeners. They're very faithful. They're very trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, however, they do tend to have excess weight gain. They tend towards sweets. They do get depressed because they take everything in. They're not critical. They're not judgmental. They're compassionate, kind, loving. Uh-huh. But they're recipients, so they take everything in, and they tend to get depressed. On the flip side, they also tend toward possessiveness in relationships. They don't like letting go of things. They don't like letting go of material things, or they don't like letting go of relationships. They like things to stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three mind-body types, and as you're hearing me speak, you might hear yourself in maybe two of them, uh-huh. or maybe one really strongly.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm actually not sure what type I am. I think that, I mean, I recognize myself in each of the three. I think I've got characteristics of each. It's hard for me to know because, you know, I feel passionate and driven and want to share and love being the role of leadership and communicator, but I also like spicy foods.
No, it doesn't mean that doesn't mean that you're not a pitta just because you like spicy foods. Now there are, you know, in many cultures, spicy food is the norm. So.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah, I was born in Texas.
I'm
very convinced that my mother put Tabasco sauce in my baby bottle. Yeah. Okay. So once we sort of assess the type, then how do we utilize that information to maintain balance?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it works. So, you know, and it just depends on what you want to start with. Most people like starting with diet because that's something we deal with every single day is uh-huh. what we eat, what we put into our bodies. And so there is an Ayurvedic ideal for eating. It's mm-hmm. not rigid. It's very much down the middle. It's very holistic eating very close to the earth.
Uh-huh.
But then there are dosha-specific diets, so diets for your mind-body type.
Okay.
So let's suppose you are a pitta type. Well, there's a certain protocol, a certain way in which you will eat, and certain foods that you're going to eat more of, and certain foods you're going to eat less of. Now, does that mean you have to be rigid all the time? No.
Uh-huh.
When you start to notice that you're going out of balance, and you're going to know your key symptoms for pitta, for example. So, for example, as you start to feel maybe pittas sometimes get a little acid reflux.
Uh-huh.
They sometimes get a little bit of irritable bowel syndrome. They tend to get irritable, just in general, their personalities, they get a little irritable, they get a little judgmental. So when you notice these little things mm-hmm. that are going off in your person, so another symptom is, for example, is getting redness in the skin or getting acne or breaking out in hives. Those are all pitta disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know these symptoms and you learn them, then you go, okay, I'm starting to get out of balance here. I'm going to focus on a pitta pacifying diet
uh-huh.
for about a week and see how things go. And what's amazing is that if you start there, usually your body comes back into balance fairly quickly. We're talking 3-4 days.
Uh-huh.
You can also do like teas that are for that mind-body type,
right.
Aromatherapies, yoga, meditation, each are different for the different mind-body types. Your exercise program. And even emotional healing, and that's something I talk about, healing in your emotions, which is very closely linked to
right.
your physical health.
So let's say that a person was kapha.
Mm-hmm.
Then how would that imbalance show up?
So a kapha imbalance would show up in excess weight.
Mm-hmm.
It'll show up in inertia because kapha types who are kaphas are normally very laid back.
Uh-huh.
They can be accused of being a little complacent sometimes. But for a kapha type, it'll show up as complete inertia. They don't want to get up off the couch. They're not going outside. They're not moving.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit blue, and their house is becoming very cluttered. That's one example.
Okay.
And so for a kapha type, what they need to do is they need to do the opposite of what they normally feel. So, for example,
oh,
a kapha type needs to get outside. They need to move. They need to see the sun. They need to call lots of friends and have them come over or go out for a night out.
Oh.
They need to eat a kapha pacifying diet, which is going to stimulate their metabolism. It's going to stimulate them to move. So they're going to do some exercise, which is a little more vigorous. Instead of doing a sitting meditation, they're going to do a walking meditation.
Okay.
So you want to just counteract. The catchphrase is you don't need more of what you already have.
Okay.
So if you already have a lot of water and earth in your mind-body type, you don't need more of it. And so when you start to go unbalanced, out of balance, that means that you have more of it. So what you want to do is you want to lessen it. You want to lessen the water and earth qualities if you're a kapha type. Same goes for pitta and same goes for vata.
So how would vatas display lack of balance? Like,
yeah, vata types, they're probably the most erratic of the three. So mm-hmm. a vata type does not like routine. And so a vata type who is consistently out of balance, they're going to not eat or not sleep. They'll forget to eat till like 2 p.m.
Uh-huh.
They'll have insomnia. They won't get to bed till 2 a.m. one night, go to bed at 9 a.m. the next night, sleep till 10 one day, sleep till 1, get up at 6 the next day. They're just completely erratic.
That sounds like me in terms of my sleep patterns. Oh, dear.
Well, you know, in this society, many of us have vata imbalances just because of our lives, just because of our lifestyle. And so also vata types will tend to lose weight. They have a hard time gaining weight, actually, for a true vata type.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a vata.
Well, you could be a vata mind. And so that's one thing we need to keep in mind when we're focusing on the mind-body types is you can be a body type of one and a mind type of another.
Oh, or interesting.
Or you could have just the different proportions where, for example, you know, maybe your vata is maybe almost to the top of where your secondary dosha is. So if you're, let's say if you're a pitta vata, on the score, on the test in the book, you could score, let's suppose you would score 85 for pitta and you'd score 75 for vata. Well, you're still a pitta vata, even though not everything is true for each of those categories.
Right.
So,
right.
So a vata type is going to be nervous, anxious. They're going to forget things. They're very airy and spacey. Anyone who's accused anyone of being an airhead or very spacey, that's vata. That's just a lot of vata. They're daydreamers. So they're not often, when they're out of balance, they're not often on this earthly plane. They're somewhere else. But the best thing for a vata type is you need to get them into a routine. They have to follow a routine A to Z, and that will bring them slowly back into balance. They need to feel safe. They need to not watch movies, not watch TV that has a lot of violence in it because of their high imaginations and because of that creativity. They tend toward worry and anxiety a lot. So if they're seeing images, if they're seeing movies or shows or reading books that are just bringing about a lot of anxiety, that's just going to exacerbate their system.
Right.
They need to eat foods which are warming. They need foods that are heavy. So they need foods that are going to bring them down to earth, that are more grounding for them.
Right. Well, I want to talk to you more, Michelle, after the break about the various types of taste. The tastes are categorized within Ayurveda, and learn more about using food as a type of healing when we return with Michelle Fondon here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Invited to the Garden of Earthly Delights at the annual Women of Wisdom Community Pampering Day, May 30th at North Seattle College. Treat yourself to a day of self-care, self-compassion, and rejuvenation. Sample a variety of services from different experts in the art of energy healings, intuitive readings, and bodywork. Select morning or afternoon and receive 100 minutes of pampering for only $50. Go to womenofwisdom.org/sacredpampering to register today.
Tune in to the hit show Marketing Masters with Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will bring you the best of the best thought leaders from around the world to share marketing strategies and best practices. Get fired up to grow your business with the Queen of Marketing. To contact Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on Transformation Talk Radio, KKNW and CRN. I'm talking to Michelle Fondon. She's the author of The Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda, an easy guide to a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, Michelle, before the break, you were talking about ways in which the three doshas, three types, can sort of find their way back into balance. And you're talking about the importance of food. Now, in Ayurvedic medicine, they talk about their different categories of food based on taste. Can you share with our listeners about that, please?
Sure. So there are six tastes according to Ayurveda: sweet, sour, salty, bitter, pungent, and astringent. Now, of course, in your high school science class, you probably learned that there are four tastes perceived on the tongue through our taste buds,
right,
which are sweet, sour, salty, and bitter. But Ayurveda adds two more to that, and those are the two tastes of pungent and astringent. Now, let me just qualify this by saying Ayurveda considers the sweet taste to be a little bit different than probably what you conceive it to be. So when we think of sweet, we think of sugar, we think of honey, we think of maple syrup or chocolate cake.
Right.
But Ayurveda expands that definition to the sweet taste that is perceived by the body. So that includes all of our major, our macronutrients, in fact. So our fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. So most of the foods that we eat have a primary or a secondary taste of sweet. Now, the sour taste is the taste of fermentation. So let me give you an example. Yogurt, cheese, alcohol, vinegar, anything that's fermented, and also citrus fruits. So if you think about oranges, grapefruits, limes, lemons, then the salty taste doesn't really need any explanation. Bitter mostly comes from greens, so a lot of our leafy greens have a bitter taste to them.
Okay.
Coffee is actually bitter.
I get bitter in my breakfast every morning.
Oh, okay. Yes. I think most of us, as Americans, we do. And pungent is the taste of heat. So chili peppers, pepper, mustard, garlic, ginger. So that anything that is bringing heat to the body that's hot, spicy, that's pungency. And then the last taste is astringent. Now, astringent is more of a perception than a taste. Let me give you an example. Have you ever eaten raw spinach on your, just taken leaves of raw spinach and eaten them? Okay. So after you eat, you chew up that raw spinach and you have this drying taste in your mouth. It's sort of like a, and some people say that it coats their teeth. And that's actually the taste of astringency. So it's something that's very compacting, drying. It's usually found in, only found in natural foods. It's found in mushrooms. It's found in, as I mentioned, spinach, any dark, dark leafy greens. So like kale, it's found in the tannins and dark fruits. So it's found in that the blackberries, blueberries. So any fruit that has a dark pigment to it, that's the tannin and that's astringency. Lentils and beans. Usually in our American diet, we're not getting a whole lot of the pungent and astringent tastes together with the other tastes. So Ayurveda says we really need to integrate all six tastes at every meal in order to be whole in our nutritional needs. So, for example, have you ever had a meal and then you weren't satisfied afterwards?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, you may have eaten a lot of food, and your stomach was certainly full, but you say to yourself, gosh, you know what? I'm missing something, and I'm really not sure what it is, but I'm craving something. And so Ayurveda would say that's because you haven't had all six tastes at your meal, and that's why, because your body is actually craving some of the nutrients that you're missing.
Right. So how do you utilize the taste to bring the different doshas back into balance?
Yeah, so in fact, Ayurveda does teach that you do need all six tastes at every meal, but you need different proportions of those tastes depending on which dosha you're trying to balance.
Uh-huh.
So if you're trying to balance the vata, meaning, and when I say balance, I'm saying bringing the vata back to your norm. So it's not like we're trying to become a vata type. If you're like, oh, vatas are really interesting, I just want to become a vata type. No, you're trying to bring the vata back to your norm. So it, usually when vata is out of balance, it's aggravated, meaning you have too much of that space and air. So in order to balance vata, you're going to eat more of the sweet, sour, and salty taste.
Uh-huh.
So somehow the vatas have it the best, unfortunately, for the pittas and kaphas. Because we're talking about warm apple pie. We're talking about some nice whole wheat pasta with some homemade Alfredo sauce with broccoli. And, you know, so the warm kind of oily and creamy foods, that's what a vata type needs to bring them back into balance.
Okay.
For a pitta type, they need more of the sweet, bitter, and astringent taste.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to need some a lot of sweet because they need to bring the sweetness back into their personality.
Uh-huh.
And the bitter and astringent is going to dry them out a little bit more because water is a part of pitta. And it's also where they need to sometimes get rid of some of that excess water in their mind-body type.
Uh-huh.
And then kapha is, since it's comprised of water and earth, they need the opposite of water and earth. They need more space and air.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to need more bitter, pungent, and astringent tastes to balance their mind-body type.
Interesting. So, Michelle, you talk about Ayurveda being like a wheel in terms of healing with it.
Mm-hmm.
What are the different spokes of the wheel?
So the different spokes of the wheel are, as we first mentioned, physical health, and then emotional health, healing your past, relationship health, environmental health, occupation, so your job, right? Occupational health, financial health, which is very closely linked to your job, spiritual health, and in the center of the wheel is what I call the, that's the best of it, that's the crux. When everything is imbalanced, you can really truly live out your life's purpose or your dharma, and that's really what I have as the center of the wheel.
So I know in your book you talk about finding your dharma, because I think that there are a lot of people out there who are dissatisfied with where they're at in their life one way or another, and they're feeling this inner urging to find their dharma. Can you give some advice to those people?
Yeah, so one of the tricks that I have for finding dharma is go back to your talents, go back to what you're naturally good at, and just list them, think about them. Think about all the things that you love to do and that you're just natural, you're a natural at. So for some people, it might be cooking. For some, it might be taking care of dogs. For some, it could be skydiving, whatever it is, just go with what you naturally gravitate toward. And then you can look at your passions, which may or may not be a talent. So something that you're very, very passionate about, and write those things down. Another trick I like is to look back to when you were about 7 or 8 years old. And usually when we're that age, we're the most authentic with ourselves. And that's really before a whole lot of social conditioning has taken place. And go back to that conversation with yourself at 7 or 8, and what were some of the things that you dreamt about becoming? What were some of the things that you really dreamt about doing in your life? And a lot of times those are little clues. It's getting clues. It's getting indications of what your purpose is.
Mm-hmm. So does, you know, balancing through Ayurvedic approaches, and it's not just medicine as we think about it, medicine typically, can that help a person find his or her dharma?
Well, it's, you know, Ayurveda is really about integrating all the parts of you, bringing all the parts of you together. So making sure that you're in balance, you're in harmony, that you're honoring your highest self. And so most definitely, when you're feeling physically fantastic, that you're waking up every day just with tons of energy, wanting to take on the world, when your emotional health is good, when your relationships have been healed, when your spiritual health, when you're spiritually connecting through meditation, your own spiritual practice, your own religious practice, when you're feeling all those parts of you that are integrated and in working together in perfect harmony, of course it's easier to find your Dharma because you're feeling more of a whole and you're not feeling divided. I think in so much of our lives, we always try to accommodate others. We try to seek others' approval. We try to serve others, but not necessarily from a place of our highest self. And so we feel divided much of the time. We don't feel like we're living authentically. And so once you start balancing yourself in all the aspects of the wheel, you start to live more authentically. And when you do that, you can get more in touch with who you are.
That makes perfect sense. We have to go to another quick break, but more with Michelle Fondon and the Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to Prescience Life Radio with host Mia Simone. Mia is devoted to sharing her extensive knowledge on the invisible worlds of energy. Join Mia and discover the science of intuition and connect with your greatest gift. Start living in your potential today and every day by opening up to the power of inner knowledge. To learn more about Mia, visit PrescienceLife.com.
We all seem to have something in our lives that we would like to shift, and there are a variety of ways to implement change. But many times we try several approaches but still don't get what we want. Why is that? Well, it turns out that there are universal principles governing change that you probably haven't heard about before, which determine whether or not we are successful in getting what we want. Following these principles leads to positive, lasting change, but ignoring them keeps us stuck. So if you are struggling in at least one area of your life, then you are missing an essential ingredient in your recipe of change. Want to learn the keys to success?
Join me, Christine Upchurch, in Redmond on June 6th for a day-long experiential workshop, helping you create your personalized roadmap for change. Empower yourself to transform your life so you can live more vibrantly. For more information, please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking with Michelle Fondon. And Michelle, you know, one of the wonderful things about Ayurvedic medicine is it's about not just healing when things get out of balance, but it's also about preventing the imbalance. And you talk a lot about that in your book. And it's a wonderful book, by the way. It's just so straightforward and very, very accessible, but also filled with wonderful information. So I highly recommend it. But one of the things you emphasize is the importance of meditation. Can you share with our listeners what the benefits of meditation are?
So there are so many proven studies that show that meditation has great effects on, for example, insomnia, curing insomnia, lowering blood pressure, normalizing blood sugar, reducing anxiety, eliminating depression. So there are so many medical reasons why people need to meditate. And it's cheap and easy. So
right.
And it doesn't have any side effects. But really from an Ayurvedic and a holistic perspective, it's about, remember how I was saying about bringing all the pieces of you together?
Yes.
And meditation is the best way to do that. It's about getting in touch with your higher self. It's about getting in touch with your inner silence. And all of our lives, from the time we're born, we focus on the outer world. We look to others for education. We look to others for approval. We look to others for love and affection, but very little do we actually look inside of ourselves. And looking inside is really a way that you can learn more about yourself and really finding that inner silence, that inner joy, that inner peace within you. But also it's about connecting to the universe. It's about connecting to nature, connecting to spirit. So at the same time you're healing yourself, you're accessing your inner silence, but also you're connecting to everything that is. And it's a really, really powerful tool to have.
So what's the best way for a person to begin to meditate?
So, you know, if you don't have a formal meditation practice, you know, I really preach that a mantra-based meditation practice is really the best and most sound, because you're, with a mantra-based meditation practice, you're actually giving the mind something to do. You're replacing the thought.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't have a formal practice, try sitting in silence and focusing on your breath for 5 minutes at a time. So start with 5 minutes in the morning, five minutes in the evening, then add a minute each time. So you're mindfully focusing on your breath for 6 minutes, and then the next day, seven. Ideally, you're going to work that up to 20 to 30 minutes twice a day. So that's a really good way to start if you have no formal practice.
And you've also got an online class coming up, don't you?
I do. I have an online class that we're starting on June 10th, and it's a great webinar course where you get online modules with me on video, and then you get to talk to me once a week. We have a conference call once weekly. The class is about 3.5 weeks long. You get to meet other new meditators online and through chat groups. So you can sign up on my website, michellefondin.com, look at upcoming events, and it's a great course. It's a course that I first learned when I first learned to meditate, and so it's a really sound method.
So it's MichelleFondin, so Michelle and then Fondin, Fondin. So for those of you who don't happen to have her book sitting right in front of you the way I do, that's the way you spell it, and yeah, that sounds great. And what other events and online classes do you have coming up?
So, you know, another online course that we're starting is the Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda. So
all right.
I'm having an online 8-module webinar course that's based on the 8 spokes of the wheel.
Uh-huh.
So if you're ready to get integrated, you're ready just to jump right in and learn all about Ayurveda and apply that to your life, that's another course we have, and that's starting June 11th. And then I also have a weekend retreat if you're interested in coming out to Virginia, around the D.C. area.
Uh-huh.
You can spend 3 days with me, and we learn all about the principles of Ayurveda. And actually, we're living an Ayurvedic lifestyle for 3 days.
So what does that mean to live an Ayurvedic lifestyle?
So, you know, Ayurveda is all about not only what you eat, but it's also about daily routine. So it's about integrating all of these aspects of healing and health into your life daily. So, you know, it's waking up at sunrise, it's meditating, it's doing some yoga practice. It's eating an Ayurvedic meal in the morning. So we learn how to do that not only through teaching, but by doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just held one in April, and it was fantastic. We just had a wonderful time. And the group of people there, they really bonded, and they really understood what it was like to live an Ayurvedic lifestyle in those 3 days.
So it must be a little challenging if you're teaching that in the summertime, like, say, here in Seattle, because sunrise can occur very early, like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're having it in the spring and fall. So the
upcoming
one is September 25th. So, But we were meditating by 7 a.m., so.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fascinating. So, Michelle, we've just got a few minutes left. Do you have any advice for our listeners about coming back into balance?
You know, the first part about coming back into balance is really awareness. Start to become aware of yourself. Start to become aware of what makes you tick. So, you know, writing down your symptoms, writing down, you know, where you see the areas in your life that are out of balance, just start to bring notice to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really by bringing awareness back to ourselves and observing yourself, and with non-judgment, though.
Uh-huh.
Just observing yourself with non-judgment, writing these things down and seeing which areas of your life really need balancing first.
It's kind of interesting, Michelle, because I know that with, like, conscious manifestation techniques and approaches to living, they'd say don't focus on those things that aren't working. But you're saying it's important to have non-judgmental awareness of it.
Yeah, it's moving toward the place of pain. Move toward the place, and that's where you'll reach enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. You need to move toward it to work through it.
Right.
It's not by ignoring it, or it's not by looking the other way that it's going to... And we often have a tendency to do that, but it's really about moving toward it. You move toward the place of pain
in order
to work through it.
And I think that if people can view whatever's coming up in their lives that may be painful as like the perfect timing, the perfect thing for their growth and their joy and happiness, as opposed to it's a problem that has to be surmounted, I think it totally shifts the perspective and allows it to move through as opposed to stay stuck there forever.
Absolutely. You know, being grateful for our challenges, being grateful for our obstacles, and even the people in our lives that come into our lives that are creating obstacles and issues and problems as we might perceive.
Right.
But those are our greatest teachers, and we really have to look at them as teachers and look at them as, you know, with gratitude and saying, wow, thank you for opening my eyes to this. Not saying that to them directly if it's not appropriate, but just within yourself and saying, you know, I would have never seen things this way had I not had this experience.
Mm-hmm. So before we end the show, can you just define from Ayurvedic perspective, what is health?
Health is it's not the absence of disease, it's not the absence of symptoms, but health is the integration of mind, body, soul, spirit, emotions, your relationships, your life's purpose, and everything about you. That's what ideal health is. It's the integration of all the aspects of you.
Uh-huh. That's a wonderful definition. I love that, Michelle. And, you know, it's very helpful when you're facing illness or facing any kind of health challenges to have a new system to sort of try to apply. But I think that one of the wonderful things about this approach that you outline in your book that is, 5,000 years old or whatever?
Yes.
Is that, you know, it's also about preventing that, you know, severe imbalance that leads to the stage six of, you know, disease.
Absolutely, and really that's what it's about. It's about living your life in such a way that you never are faced with the diseases that are erupting. It's about living your life every day to its fullest and really living in optimal health each and every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I want to thank you, Michelle, for doing what you do, for writing this wonderful book, The Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda, and for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina. I really, really appreciate it. Uh-huh. Thank you.
And I want to thank you for joining us here today. I've got a couple of quick announcements. I wanted to let people know that I'm offering the Vibration of Change workshop here in the Seattle area because of demand. So I've got a few spaces still available. It's a week from Saturday, June 6th, where you will learn a new perspective on how change occurs, how positive lasting change occurs. And you'll also get to sort of integrate this new perspective into your own life so that you can create a roadmap to navigate your way to positive lasting change. So, hope you'll join us there on Saturday, June 6th. Go to stellarreflections.com if you want more information. And I want to thank you for joining us here today. It's always nice to talk to you wherever you are in the world. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.